Yes.
Dhanavad Maharaj.
Dhanavad.
We have a question from Uddhava Das, UK.
Mm-hmm.
Dhanavad Maharaj,
Hare Krishna.
Can you please explain the role of the Shiksha Guru, especially in the physical absence of one's Diksha Guru in Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math? Sometimes it seems that the Shiksha Guru can be more prominent than the Diksha Guru. How can the disciple view his relationship and consideration with both gurus? Thank you, Uddhava Das in the UK.
And the background of all guru function must be Krishna. The will of Krishna to reveal himself to the devotee, the aspiring servitor. How, through whom Krishna chooses to reveal himself is his prerogative. But for it to be real, substantial, and divine, Krishna must be there in the background. So, the Chaitanya Charitamritam is where we get information about Shiksha Guru. And Guru Tattva. It's not limited to there, but that's specifically where we hear about Shiksha Guru. And we can take it that what is given there in the first chapter is significant. And the very work begins with the two words, Bande Gurun. And Gurun is plural. So I observed this many years ago, that to enter into this, an understanding of this literature properly, the prerequisite is that you accept a plurality of gurus. The very first word, Bande Gurun, I offer my obeisances to my gurus. And then he will mention, like, Rup Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal, Bhatta Das Raghunath, the six Goswamis. So, Guru Maharaj has spoken extensively about this and Sri Guru and His Grace, and can be read there, which I advise everyone to do. Oh, but in that chapter in Charitamritam, the Bhagavatam sloka from the 11th canto, Krishna to Uddhava is given, Acharjam mam vijaniyat navamanyeta karhichid namartya budhya suyeta sarva deva mayo guru. Where Krishna says, Acharjam mam, I am the Acharja. And even though you may see so many mortal or human symptoms in the agent, you're to understand, I'm dealing with you through the agency of this Vaishnava. But Srila Guru Maharaj, a significant statement, he said, who addresses the inner awakening and unfoldment of the development of the disciple is Guru. So that's why one may become more prominent at different times. When they ask Guru Maharaj, which one is most important? Harinam Guru, Mantra Guru, Sannyas Guru, Ragamarg Diksha Guru? Well, they didn't ask that, but... And he's saying, it could vary according to the inner necessity, and he said, unfoldment of the inner necessity and development of that disciple. So sometimes we find someone is under the care and close supervision of the Harinam Guru or Mantra Guru. Guru Maharaj says, as long as Harinam Guru is extant, alive, then they'll carry out all these functions. But in the background is the will of Krishna. We were discussing earlier in the case of Srinivas Acharya, who was sent to study Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, who we understand in the Acharya Leela of Radha and Krishna, Gaur Gadadhar. Krishna, Gauranga, Gadadhar, Srimati Radharani. So, because we hear that Gadadhar Pandit is extracting meaning from the Bhagavatam there, we won't think that Gadadhar Pandit is giving a generic Bhagavatam class, if there is such a thing. But as indicated in Guru Maharaj's sloka, Nilam Bodhitate Sadas Viraha Kepangitam Bandavam Srimad Bhagavati Katha Madhiraya Sanjeevan Bhatiya Srimad Bhagavatam Swanayana Supayanai Pujayam Goshami Prabhu Gadadhara Vibhur Bhuyat Mareka Gati. He is giving an indication in this Gadadhar Pranam, which was part of his introduction to his sloka collection, that Gadadhar Pandit saying, addressing Swaviraha, Mahaprabhu is in Puri feeling deep separation from himself, and that's cause of certain anguish in the heart, divine anguish, but anguish. And Gadadhar Pandit is selecting slokas from the Bhagavatam that we can say that he, she knows by personal experience when this condition arises, or the heart of it, this will give you some relief, or this will augment this particular sentiment, or yeah. So that is a Gadadhar Pandit, what to speak of here, addressing the inner awakening and unfoldment of the development of the heart of Mahaprabhu in Radha Bhavadyuti Subalita. So, why didn't I say this? Because, so when we're told Srinivasacharya has been sent there, we can understand something from an indication of what would be the thematically the content of instruction, but how peculiar the pursuit of Krishna consciousness upon his arrival. Gadadhar Pandit saying, "Oh, as in Guru Maharaj's sloka, what?" Saying, as he's making these offerings to Mahaprabhu, or excuse me, supplying the slokas. He said, like an intoxicant for a friend who's heartbroken and love sick, supplying the slokas like an intoxication to relieve the anguish of the heart, that Gadadhar Pandit, tears are pouring from the eyes of Gadadhar Pandit, and they're falling onto the pages of Bhagavatam. Just like you offer flowers to the Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit's tears are pouring onto the pages of the Bhagavatam as offerings. But in that process, washing away the very slokas that he is supplying. So that when Srinivas Acharya comes for instruction, Gadadhar Pandit is saying, what I would like to teach you is no longer to be found here. So we can understand this is lila, right? And it means particular slokas of a particular quality. They're saying, Gadadhar Pandit says, I need a new Bhagavatam. Then I can teach you. Srinivasa Acharya goes to Navadvip. And where they're known scribes. Right? It's a center of scholarship and learning. Scribes. I mean, they that's how you made books then. I was given the assignment once in ISKCON time at Albert Road, number 3 Albert Road, to get a copy of the lease. And this is before India had like photocopies, Xerox, things like that. So I had to go to the Writer's Building at the Esplanade. And the reason it's called the Writer's Building, I soon discovered. All these writers are there. And you go, I need a copy of this. When they copy that by hand, it might take hours, it could take a couple days, depending on what it is. And in the end, put their seal, it's considered a legal copy of the original. So it's called the Writer's Building. And that was in the second half of the 20th century, which some of you may have heard about. No, Gadadhar Pandit and Srinivasa Charja and Navadvip to copy the slokas of the Bhagavatam, 18,000 or 16,000 extent. It takes some time, a few weeks, a month, some time. I guess that by the time he returns, he finds out Gadadhar Pandit has left the world. What are we to understand from that? Krishna's in control of everything. What is his divine will? Then Srinivasa Charja gets the inspiration to go to Vrindavan, get instruction from Rupa Goswami, take some time. You're walking most of the time. That probably takes a couple months. And when he gets there, some big celebration is going on, and he's thinking, perhaps, you know, I'm in traveling, I've missed something on the calendar. Is today a special day? They're saying, haven't you heard? Rupa Goswami has left the world. And his heart can't take it. He faints. This is too much for him. Gadadhar Pandit, now Rupa Goswami, well, why is Krishna the way he is? And we're told when he awakens, he's in the ashram of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami instructs the Bhagavatam to him. So all three are revered as guru, of course. You think about it, Radha, Sri Rupa, Jiva. But the divine will of Krishna to plunge the heart in the depths of a particular, where it would express with the greatest earnestness and intensity a particular necessity, and then bring him in connection with Jiva Goswami. So we can't have a stereotype type about how this is going to come to us. But when we are take shelter of a Vaishnava as Guru, Adao Guru Vashraya, then we're focused exclusively on that agent. They may say, you can hear from my godbrother, or here's a reliable Vaishnava who you may take shiksha from, instruction, with their approval. Sometimes I like to point out in our case that coming in connection with Srila Sridhara Maharaj was not accidental or whimsical. At a time of great necessity, in the aftermath of the disappearance of the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I found indications from him of accepting Srila Sridhara Maharaj as Shiksha Guru and recommending him to his disciples. And the famous quote where he says, if you want to go to Shiksha Guru, you must go to someone who is qualified, and Sridhara Maharaj is the most qualified of all my god brothers. What to speak of you? I consider him my Shiksha Guru. And this was not some sort of, what do you call it, politesse, being polite. There's no second person he said that of. No one to this day can produce a direct quote, letter, evidence of Prabhupada saying that about anyone besides Srila Sridhara Maharaj. And he said it on more than one occasion. So then with his indication, I and others made our approach to Srila Sridhara Maharaj and accepted him in the beginning as Shiksha Guru. In time, he became my substantial guru. So, and most prominent. So, this is not some, again, Guru Maharaj says, and for Shiksha, acceptance of Shiksha Guru is not, there's no formality for that. He also says, all Vaishnavas in varying degrees are Shiksha Guru. Because they're giving us, they're addressing our inner necessity or the inner awakening, unfoldment of heart, God brothers, God sisters. And if we look again in Charitamritam, extreme example is given there. And I thought, why in this section, which Srila Prabhupada titled The Spiritual Masters, again, plural, Bande Gurun. So that's where the Acharya Mam Vijaniyam sloka is, where Krishna says, I am the Acharya, and the verses about Shiksha Guru, Chaitya Guru, many things. But then, and you think, there's so many slokas all over the scriptures about Guru. Why is this one particular sloka given there? Chintamanis, Shiksha Gurushcha, Sikhi Ping Chamoli. Where it's from the Krishna Karnamritam of Bilva Mangal Thakur. And he, Somagiri Gurushcha. He's mentioning his gurus, culminating in the one who wears the peacock, you know, Krishna himself. But what's interesting is he mentions Amayavadi, Somagiri, and more than that, Chintamani, who is a prostitute. So he's saying, I offer my obeisances to my guru, you know, Somagiri, Chintamani, you know. Like, why put this sloka there? It's a wonderful thing, but why include it there in this essential section that is trying to help us understand Guru in all aspects? Because Like Patta Pradarshak means way showing. That's a type of guru who point, go in this direction. So at a particular stage of his development, Somagiri, it was helpful. Right? And we know in the story of Chintamani, just to recap, that, you know, during his father's funeral, he's a client of this prostitute, Chintamani, and during his father's funeral, he can't even wait till the end. His mind is out of control. He becomes agitated. So he leaves the funeral and is heading toward her house, and it starts to rain. What's the word when it rains? Like an inundation, huh? Torrents of rain, torrents. And when he gets there, the bridge is washed away. You have to cross over a river. So what does he do? He jumps in the river. He's swimming. He almost drowns. He holds on to something, makes it to the other side. What is the flotation device? A dead body. Makes it to the other side. He's a mess. He's going, gets to the gate, still raining, no one can hear him. So he decides to scale the wall. There's this fat vine, he's using that to scale the wall. It turns out, what was that? A python. Then gets on the other side of the wall, knock on the door. We can imagine what he looks like by this time. Chintamani comes to the door and sees the mess he is, and she gets some inspiration and said, if you had a drop of this kind of earnestness or eagerness for the pursuit of Krishna, you would be a great devotee. If you had a drop of this applied to that, that much he knows. But what happened is her words, she's an agent for divine revelation. It touches the heart, not only strikes the heart of Bilva Mangal Thakur like a thunderbolt. And he has this awakening and thinks, yes, you're right. And that sends him in the right direction. So he doesn't think, he didn't say, imagine if his ego intervened. And he said, who are you? You're a prostitute. You instruct, give me spiritual instruction. If he focused on the external aspect of the agent and ignored the actual divine revelation that was coming through the agent to him, he would have been a loser. So it's telling us that the substance of guru is not externally observable. And by using an extreme example, namartya bhutya suyeta, even if you see human traits and qualities, characteristics, ignore the objective in favor of the subjective. That is thematically Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He has innumerable examples on this point. Right? Where you say, you know, form, substance over form. We thought beauty over power, heart over intellect, mercy over justice. Substance over form. And I was having a discussion with Srila Guru Maharaj about this once, and going back and forth a few times, and finally he kind of was dialing into what I was saying about Guru, and he said, oh, you mean the man? And he said, the inspired side of the Vaishnava is the Guru. And he said, and when they're like, here's the inspired side, here's the regular side. He said, ideally, they're seamless. He said, but when there's some, what would be the right word? Disparity, that our emphasis should go to the inspired side, the substantial part. And we don't focus on that. Now, only a spiritually awakened person can accept this and believe this. A rational person will say just the opposite. Right? No, you should focus on the other side. Right? Try not to block the doorway. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Jai. Because it discourages participation. Please come inside. I knew this was coming. So there's a fallacy in logic called nagna matrika nyai, which means the fallacy of the false logic of the naked mother. And what the, please come inside. It just makes no sense. We're going to train the corgi to herd the devotees into the studio. So, nagna matrika nyai, the fallacy of logic of the naked mother, means here's your mother before you. But if you're thinking, oh, my mother was once a naked girl, that may objectively be true, but to focus on that is actually to deceive you from what is before you, your mother. Right? So it's not only, it's inaccurate. So you're focusing on something that may objectively be true, but it's preventing you from appreciating subjectively what is before you, your mother, your nourishing mother. Substance over form, the subjective above the objective. And aside from this, there have been so many studies about great writers, thinkers, musicians, etc. And maybe a few years back, they probably still did, but like people at a time, they were like, they would be shocked to find out that some great composer or something like wasn't a nice guy, you know? Did that mean that the music was bad? Or he didn't know how to paint? Or because we want it to be seamless, the person who delivered the, we want it to be like, but they found out, I don't know how far we want to develop this example, but they would find out like that they were less than what one might imagine. But that didn't change the substance of what came through them. That is my point. Maybe it's a crude analogy, but it's there nonetheless. So Guru Maharaj said, if they're seamless, that's ideal. If there's any disparity, then we focus on the subjective aspect. That's what Bilba Mongol did. He saw, he didn't dismiss what was coming through the prostitute Chintamani to him on the basis of any external consideration. Rather, he ignored that and suppressed that and took to heart what was passing through her to him. Another example of Patta Pradarshak Srila Gurudev would give sometime is about, what was the name of this person who's marketing at the end of the day? You remember his name? Something Babu. I forget his name. He's a very rich man, and he's going to the market at the end of the day. It's like Lal Babu. Yeah. So, and, you know, he's comparison shopping, like looking at the eggplants or whatever, you know. And the fruit, the vegetable seller is saying, Lal Babu, And I see the sun's going down. It's going to be dark soon. Make up your mind, you know. And that person is talking about the sun setting and it's the market's getting ready to close. Hurry up and decide what you're going to do. But for him, it struck his heart and he thought, I'm in the last end, the part of my life. The sun's going down, you know. The metaphor, it hit him spiritually. It awakened him. It struck, like Guru Maharaj would say sometimes, but a direct hit and a soft sentiment. And that was instrumental in his renouncing the world and pursuing spiritual life exclusively. So in that context, unbeknownst to the agent, they were a Patapradarshak guru. Pat means path, Pradarshak, way shower. Sometimes it's known, sometimes it's unknown. It's something passing through them. So Guru Maharaj told it, that type of agent is not permanent. It's not a permanent position. But we see, still, nonetheless, Chintamani had such an impact on Bilba Mangal Thakur. She's glorified in the pages of Krishna Karnamritam. So, this is not a fashion to have a Shiksha Guru. It is about addressing inner necessity and ongoing development. Who is addressing that? So any aspiring servitor will naturally find appreciation in other God brothers and God sisters. We could say in general, particularly those who are senior, more experienced, and certified or endorsed as being reliable representatives of our guru. Sometimes they indicate this person is, you know, understands me on so many things. So then it's giving an indication. My disciples can hear from this person on these subjects, or there's approval. So, what was the question again?
In the presence of can you explain the role of the Shiksha Guru, especially in the physical absence?
Like Guru Maharaj said, like consulting physician. A Diksha Guru is like your family doctor. And he said Shiksha Guru like consulting a physician. The family doctor knows your whole history, right? In the old days, they gave birth, you know, they did everything. So they know, they gave birth, pulled you out of your mother, dealt with you, your childhood. They know your whole history. But that family doctor, sometimes they say, I need, you know, to consult with another physician in this matter. So Guru Maharaj said, sometimes Shiksha Guru can be seen in that way, in the context of a consulting physician. But again, it has to be addressing a genuine necessity. And I found in the case of Srila Guru Maharaj, in my case, that some God brothers and God sisters, I was sharing, it's natural to share what you discover, particularly that is spiritually substantial. And I found so many God brothers and God sisters resonating with that and getting help from that. But then I found others not, and eliminating those who were just would dismiss anything without examining it. There was a certain section of people I knew, like, these are very sincere devotees. Why don't they appreciate us? And my conclusion was, they weren't feeling that necessity at that time. And Guru Maharaj has said, What Krishna may be revealing to one, he's not revealing to another. And just for Shastric reference, Mala Nam Ashanirni Nam Nadabarastri Nam Smaro Murtiman, when Krishna enters the arena of Kamsa and he's seen variously by the one Krishna, you know, as like lightning striking to the wrestlers. The best example of, you know, a human being by some, Cupid personified to the ladies, Eros personified, and on and on. One Krishna. So some are seeing him that way, someone else, no, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. That's a very beautiful thing. And Guru Maharaj has said elsewhere, according to our inner sincere hankering for the truth, our hearts, inner sincere, Jai Srila Bhakti Vinalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. According to our hearts, inner sincere hankering for the truth, we will necessarily come in connection with a certain level of theistic association and theistic conception and subsequent association. That is like a formula. According to the inner sincere hankering of the heart, one will necessarily, Krishna's reciprocating, one will necessarily come in connection with a particular level of theism or theistic conception and subsequent association. That's how it should be based. That actually encompasses everything. Every possible religious, irreligious, from, you know, atheism to agnosticism to theism and to deep theism. It's all covered in that statement. So what the bottom line is that one has to be sincere and earnest. And then Krishna will reveal himself through a particular agent. Guru Maharaj said, if I do not deceive me, no one can deceive me. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tatagachchati. Sincerity is invincible, the sincere will emerge victorious. So we see in the case I cited at Srinivasacharya, it's complex because it's not implied, don't mean to imply that the Gadadhar Pandit channel, it did not close. It's just the inconceivable will of Krishna and from Gadadhar Pandit to Rupa to Jiva, and in that way he will make his approach. So what our concern should be to avoid self-deception, to be as sincere and as earnest as we can be in our approach, and have faith all along that Krishna will reveal himself to me according to my genuine inner necessity. And that who will be, as Guru Maharaj said, whether it's Harinam Guru, Mantra Guru, Sannyas Guru, this Guru, that can change in time, the point of emphasis. But one thing I can understand also now is that for most, you will spend the vast majority of your life not in direct association with your guru. Right. That means you'll be in connection with other Vaishnavas and see a connecting thread in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, Guru Maharaj gives that example. Lalit Swarup Damodar and Mahaprabhu are everything to Raghunath Das. Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Srup Damodar and explained why. What I don't know, he knows fully. When they leave the world, Raghunath Das said, I no longer have a reason to exist. My whole life is an aspiration to serve their lotus feet, as expressed in his sloka in the Vilapakusa Manjali, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi Tvam Chet Kripam Mayi Vidasha Shinaiva Kimme Prane Brajena Chaboro Rubakarinapi. Asha, Asha means an aspiration. He said, Ashavare Amrita Sindhu Mayi. My aspiration is to get the service of your holy lotus feet. Guru Maharaj said, this is interesting. He said, it's a direct prayer to Radharani. Normally we would say like, we should pray to Krishna or, you know, but Radharani is the ultimate guru. Because they think, well, that's not good to pray to her. No, taking her as guru and in the ultimate sense, since a direct prayer to her, but kintu prabhoya priya vitasya, the shift takes place from Krishna in the forefront as guru to going in the back to Radharani and her delegation being Prabhu Priya being seen as guru. So there's no, it's not upasiddhantic or ontologically untenable. So he's praying, my life is an aspiration to serve your holy lotus feet. And then we understand why the emphasis is saying, without you, my life has no meaning. Prane, pran, you know, braje, braja. And what's more valuable than my life? Normally, we think that for everyone, the most valuable thing you have is your life. But this is a devotee speaking. So he can say, there are things more valuable than my life. And one, well, what would one of them be? Vrindavan. That's more valuable than my life. But without you, Srimati Radharani and your delegation guru, what is Vrindavan to me? I have no business there. As elsewhere, when he said, what is it? Sakaya me mama namostu namostu nityam. Sakaya te mama namostu namostu nityam. Dasaya te mama rusastu rusastu satyam. My emphasis is on service, not intimacy. Vrindavan isn't land of, why would I be, without you, what would I be doing there? I have no interest independently of you in that plane. It's simple, but very profound. Right? Prane brajena, brajena, and then he says, and what is more valuable than that? Krishna. Krishna is of no use to me without you. Who can say that? Ranganath Das Goswami says that. In fact, Guru Maharaj, he said, I know it is a shameless thing to say. He said, but without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. What? Reality, the beautiful Krishna? Yang Shama Sundaram Achanta Guna Swarupam Krishna? Is dreadful? What sort of intensity, Das Goswami is saying? And how it's all thematically connected, the Chinmoy threads connecting all of this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, Guru Jana Shire Puna Shobapai Shataguna. When I see, I look to the head of my guru, when I see my guru just above, oh, when I see that Krishna, Shobapai Shataguna, 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more beautiful in connection with guru. And Prabhupada could say these things in a very simple way. He'd say, without Radharani, Krishna is not so beautiful. Although he's reality the beautiful. Only a devotee could say that, right? So, what was the point I'm making?
Genuine inner necessity.
Oh, so Das Goswami, now that Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar have left the world, he's saying, what am I doing here? Without them, my life has lost its meaning. Vrindavan is of no use to me. Krishna himself, Bora, Bakari, Baka, means Bakasura. Ari means the killer. Bakari, the demon killer. Krishna is now like not so sweet and charming. He's like the demon killer, Krishna. This is right. You see the intensity of he's the Prayojan Tattva Acharya pointing what is our ultimate necessity. So we're told, what does he do? He's going to go to Vrindavan. This is his mood. Devotees sometimes, they don't do this, but he's saying, I will go to Vrindavan, go to Govardhan, and jump from Govardhan Hill, and that'll be the end of me. Right? That's his mood. And we know when he's there, Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam, praying to Govardhan, give me a little place nearby, give me shelter. Muke Radha Radha Bole Beshe Nayanera Jale Radhe Radhe, crawling on his hands and knees with tears streaming, drenching his clothes, taking the name of Srimati Radharani. That's why Guru Maharaj does not approve. We don't say that. Das Goswami says that. That's reserved for him. And upon his arrival there, that's his intent to throw himself from Govardhan. Even that you have to appreciate. He finds Rupa and Sanatan and says, oh, Mahaprabhu and Srup Damodar are here in them. How wonderful is that? You're saying, I see in Sanatana Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu and Srup Damodar, oh, I'm saved. So it requires that kind of intensity, that kind of, I can't go on living without this connection, and then in a genuine way, appreciating something substantial. And another Vaishnava saying, oh, the connect guru, guru tattva. I see, I cannot deny, guru is here before me. Once again, Jai Sri Guru. As Guru Maharaj said, the world we aspire to, he called it the land of gurus. He said, where the soil is guru. Then he said, so how can you take one step there? Not out of curiosity. How can you step on the soil that is guru? Only out of service necessity, as the pujari addressing the deity may have to step on the altar to put the crown on Krishna, to put the flute in Krishna's hands. To touch anything with your foot is offense, what to speak of the altar. You can't touch the altar with your foot, but unless you're going to put a crown on Krishna, flute in Krishna's hand, then with bowed head, folded palms, and a little cloth, the devotee can ascend like that. Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange Matala Sarujana Vishayarange. That realm, Ragapat, Ragamarg, it is the worshipable upper world plane. With folded palms and a bowed head, we make our approach, and how fortunate we are that with the grace of our Guru Varga in this plane, they've given us some service in connection with that plane that is possible for us to do. Some kind of service that's actually possible for us to do here in service to that higher plane. We don't try to forcibly bring that down here. We don't try to forcibly impose the Shiksha Guru function on another. It has to be real, genuine, and addressing our inner necessity. Then it becomes meaningful. So after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, when I heard that was 77, so in 78, heard this tape of Srila Guru Maharaj speaking about the disappearance of the Guru. And that's what he said, the Guru's like the sun, the Shisha like the lotus, the Guru's like the water, the Shisha like the lotus, resting sheltered on the water, and Krishna is like the sun. When the disciple is safely ashraya vigraha in the waters of Sri Guru, thrives in the hot sun, like we see the lotuses here. Said, take away the water, and that the same sun burns the lotus. How Krishna is intense, right? Like we think of the magnitude of the heat and light of the sun. In terms of Krishna, think like the beauty of Krishna has that type of magnitude. The beauty and love and effect has that type of magnitude. How? So you need some to be sheltered from of something of harder stuff. I remember in school when they were showing us some about steel and iron ore and what is it called, smelting, I think. Anyway, it means there are these crucibles, these pots, and you put the iron ore in there and then you like heat up the pot and it liquefies. And then of course, every child will ask like, why doesn't the pot melt? You understand? You're making steel, but that pot's not melting. But inside it is melting. So you know, why does that melt? And the answer would be, because it's made of harder stuff. That's the simple answer. So the intensity of the beauty, charm, and sweetness of Krishna. We need to Guru Jana Shire Puna Shobha Pai Shataguna. In connection with Guru, that we can withstand the intensity of the beauty of Krishna. Without Guru, it turns into something else. So how dependent we are. That's why Guru Dev represented that in the logo of the mat. But Guru Maharaj gave that example to the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the aftermath of his disappearance to show how guru-centric we are. And he quoted Das Goswami saying, Sunyaite mahargoshtam girindro jagarayate vyagram tundayate kundam jivatu rahitasyame. Again, Das Goswami saying, Mahaprabhu says, Govinda birahina me yugaitam nimishena chakshusham. Without you, Krishna, the world looks void, empty to me. But Das Goswami, Guru Maharaj, he takes it to another level when he's saying, all the thing, without you, Sri Guru, all the things that were formerly the source of inspiration for my service now appear to be antagonistic. Before they were inspiring, now they appear to be antagonistic to me. What are they? Govardhan and Radhakunda. Govardhan now appears like a python, a giant python coming to swallow me. And Radha Kunda, that holy of holiest places, holiest of holy places, appears like a tiger's gaping jaws coming to devour me. That's his level of intensity and necessity, how much he needs. Guru is not a fashion for him, or an ornament to his path, on his path, but an absolute necessity without whose connection, and connection means service. Without that service connection, his very life is meaningless to him. And he's the Prayojan Tattva Charja in the Rupa Nuga line. And he could see Mahaprabhu and Srup Damodar and Rupa and Sanatan. So it's serious matter, Shiksha Guru, Guru, Guru Tattva. Divine revelation, the absolute descending in relative circumstance to reveal himself based upon the genuine inner necessity of the aspiring servitor. Hare Krishna. Anything else? No, okay. Hare Krishna.